It is time for Area Voices. Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And we found out on an Area Voices segment a couple of weeks ago that the arts and arts-related events bring nearly $14 million to the rural northern Minnesota counties of Beltrami, Hubbard, Clearwater, Lake of the Woods, and Manoman. And the Region 2 Arts Council is an organization that supports artists and arts-related activities in those specific counties. And the Region 2 Arts Council has created a special event that they are calling the Arts Expo. It's an arts resource fair, and it's happening this weekend to promote and continue this positive momentum of economic and cultural health of our region. And to tell us more about it is Catherine Gonzalez from the Region 2 Arts Council. She's in studio. Wendell Affield is in the studio as well. He'll be conducting a publishing workshop at the event. And Joanna Schnelder from the Minnesota Theater Alliance is on the phone with us. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. Well, thanks. I'm going to start with Catherine. Before we get to talking about the event, I am wondering if you could share with our listeners the different ways that Region 2 supports the artists and arts organizations and other nonprofits in this five-county region.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So we're part of a statewide network of a total of 11 regional arts councils. And as you said, these are the five regions that we serve, Beltrami, Clearwater, Lake of the Woods, Manoman, Hubbard. And our mission is really to strengthen the presence of the arts. And we do that by supporting arts creation, promotion, and education for all the people in the five counties we serve. And that can look like, so we have 11 grants a year that we have available for artists, as well as arts organizations or organizations that would like to do arts programming. And this can include counties, it can include schools. So there's a lot of opportunities and ways in which organizations themselves can really see potential in using these funds that we receive specifically from the state. We receive these legacy funds to provide access, really learning opportunities, and artistic context in terms of cultural heritage. And so we can also, in addition to grant funding, we serve artists directly by providing professional development workshops, as well as the organizations, arts organizations, or any organization wanting to do arts programming. We also have a lot of interest in connecting people. So we try to do events like the Arts Resource Expo to really connect and allow people to meet each other across artists, community members, organizations, to really spark the fire of arts programming in our region.
So there is a, you have, I was looking at your schedule. It looks like there's one grant coming up, a grant deadline April 15th.
Yes.
And it's called Arts Access for Small Towns.
Yes.
What is that grant about and who can apply?
Sure. So this is a grant that is really looking at allowing any arts organizations, because this is really looking at organizations themselves that are interested in doing arts programming in terms of the creation, any production or presentation of high quality arts activities. And then also any projects that might help just really overcome any barriers to accessing that high quality art in our region. And the reason they're called small towns is because we're really looking at towns that are a population of under 2,000.
Okay.
So this is an opportunity for the smaller towns to have their pool where they're not necessarily competing with the larger towns that might have a little bit more resources and access, and it just gives an opportunity for them to also look at the potential in their community. And so some examples of what that could look like. So last year, for example, we funded the Baudette, the Depot Preservation Alliance. Mm-hmm. They received $6,000 to actually host a fourth annual bluegrass festival. So that was one example. So that incorporated live music. It had music seminars. Another example, which many people might know, is Farm by the Lake. So they actually receive $6,000 to host 13 concerts, which many listeners probably have attended.
Yeah. So that's in Bagley.
Exactly. That's in Bagley. And that's basically an annual art festival. And then we also funded the Red Lake Band of Chippewa.
Okay.
And they actually put together an Honoring Our Ancestors art festival. So okay. Those are some examples of what might be possible for funding.
Okay. So people can connect with the Region 2 Arts Council for more information if you're listening and you're in a small town and think our town could do something cool.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the big things that I want to really share is that we are there to help and support as much as possible. So if you have just an inspiration, you're not really sure where to go with it, we're just a great resource because we can give you ideas and insights. If you don't have any experience writing grants, that's what we're there for. You know, we're there to support you as much as we can to help you do the programming that really flourishes the arts in our community.
Excellent. So there is a special event that you guys are organizing this weekend. You mentioned it a little while ago, the Region 2 Arts Council Arts Expo. What is going to be going on at that event?
A lot of things.
Okay.
It's really exciting. So we have workshops that are for artists and creative people. Some people don't wear the hat of artists, but they are still artists, and they have a lot of ways in which they can enrich their artwork. We also have specific workshops for arts organizations, and we have a special opportunity for theater people. Mm-hmm. So for artists, we have Monica Hansmeyer, who's jewelry designer, and she's a business owner. And she's going to help people kind of think about ideas of how to take their art-inspired creative work that they're already doing and move into a new career based on their artwork. And then Alice is helping and supporting people craft an artist statement and resume. So, you know, anything you have, everybody has a body of work. And sometimes it's hard to see it as an artist resume. Mm-hmm. So how can you take your history of your craft and put it into a resume or an artist statement is really useful. Mm-hmm. As well as Wendell here, who's here with us talking a little bit about he's going to be focusing on notes on self-publishing. And we're really excited about that because we have a lot of literary art people that are really looking for resources like that.
Yeah. Wendell, you want to talk about that? What kinds of things will you be touching on in your workshop?
Well, real quick here, I made an 8-page printout with lots of live links.
Okay.
So people will be able to share that through my website. But we're going to talk about the legal and financial ramifications of self-publishing. You need to be registered with the state of Minnesota to pay your sales tax because you're going to sell books.
Right. That's the goal, right?
Yes. And a lot of when you go to book fairs and other events where you are selling books, you need to have your employer identification number and be registered with the organization you're working with. So that's one of the things we'll discuss. But mainly, we're going to talk about the book itself. About 8 months before you think about printing the book, actually, you need to get your paperwork in with the state, get that developed. You need to get a website going. You need to find a domain name that's not being used. There's a lot of technicalities, and we're going to go over those things. And we're going to review the parts of the book, the title page, or the front cover, for example, and the title, what you need to supply a graphic designer with, and all the details of, for example, a copyright page, you know, your Library of Congress number, your actual copyright you need to get recorded. And there's a lot of technicalities. Mm-hmm. And then you have the front cover, the spine, and the back cover, and each one of those parts require certain information that, you know, when you're in a bookstore glancing through books, you don't think about, but when you go to publish it, all of a sudden it's very important.
Yeah, those nuts and bolts type of things,
yeah,
when people think, yeah, or somebody says, you need to write a book from some experience that you've been through.
Yeah.
So you write it, and then what? And that's where you come in and tell us, yeah, great information.
And, yeah, when I published my first book, Muddy Jungle Rivers, 7 years ago, I thought, well, I can go the traditional route. And I sent out query letters, and I quickly realized that no one's going to no one's interested in an unknown from northern Minnesota. Mm. So I started exploring self-publishing companies, and there's a million of them on the internet. And the more I studied them and researched them, the more I thought, wow, I can do this myself for just a fraction of the money. And so I did, and I was very fortunate because at that time, my daughter Trish Ritchie had TJ Design Studio, so she was just a wonderful resource that, you know, her helpers just really took it and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that worked out very well for us. But now I've come to realize since then that especially if the more computer savvy a person is, the more work they can do themselves. There are certain things that you're going to have costs. For example, you have to pay to be registered with the state. ISBN numbers, I want to just touch real quick on those. A lot of places like Amazon is a good example. I highly recommend Amazon Kindle because they're so user-friendly to work with. But I highly recommend purchasing your own ISBN numbers rather than using the free ones Amazon will give you, because when you use Amazon's numbers, you're limited to their platform. If you own your own ISBN numbers, which you can buy through, just Google Bowker and it'll pop right up, then you can do anything with your books. Just for example, mine are printed through Amazon. I use their print on demand for their online sales, but like I use Bang Printing down in Brainerd to print the bulk of the books that I use for my own sales.
Okay. And local resource. I like that.
Yeah.
Or regional anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a wonderful job.
So Joanna, are you still on the line with us?
Yeah.
Hi. So tell it, what is the Minnesota Theater Alliance?
Absolutely. Well, we are a statewide art service organization with the mission to connect, support, and advocate for Minnesota's performing arts community. That includes organizations and the individuals who are involved in all of those organizations. And there are over 450 performing arts organizations across the entire state.
Okay. So how are you seeing theater making an impact specifically in rural Minnesota?
Oh, my goodness. There are theater experiences across the state in rural communities in Minnesota, and it's really exciting. They carry extreme economic impact, as was mentioned at the beginning of this segment, and community building impact. And those, the ripple effect is really wonderful, too, that the economic impact of the organizations themselves feeds into the tourism industries. And we've had a great opportunity to partner with Explore Minnesota on an initiative called Explore Minnesota Theater.
Hmm.
And we try to get the message out about that that campaign as well.
That's cool. You're doing a special workshop at 2:30 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen at your workshop?
This is what we call a regional network meeting. So it's primarily about the people in the room coming together, being able to network with each other, being able to meet each other if they haven't met each other before. Sometimes, a lot of various communities in a region can get kind of siloed. And so we love to be able to give an opportunity for the theaters to come together, to meet each other, to network, to bring forward their successes or their challenges and have the communities weigh in on what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And we also like to give an overview of the resources that the Theater Alliance provides and to make sure that everybody knows about those, knows about our opportunities. And we want to hear what the theaters and performing arts organizations in those communities need from us as well. So the conversations can really go a wide range of places. From the various human resources type topics, which is involved with when any group of people are working together, we have to think very intentionally about how we treat each other, as well as just the nuances of running a theater business, marketing, fundraising, sustainability for those organizations. So a wide range of topics. Sometimes we delve into the creative as well. What are the skill building challenges? what are the areas where communities need more training and resources, and thinking about how we can support all of these different communities around the state.
That's great. That's Joanna Schnelder. She's from the Minnesota Theater Alliance. She's going to be at the Arts Expo. The Region 2 Arts Council is putting on this Saturday. It goes on, 10 to 6 p.m.?
10 to 4.
10 to 4. I must have made a wrong keystroke there when I was typing. 10 to 4 at the Northwest Indian Community Development Center in Bemidji. That's right next to Slumberland. And anybody is welcome to go to this event. Doesn't matter if you're an artist or not.
That's right.
There's something for everybody here.
Absolutely. We have artist demos. We also have, great learning opportunities. All of these workshops are open to anybody who's interested in the topic. So, for example, VSA is going to be there talking about...
What's VSA?
So they used to be called Very Special Artists.
Okay.
And it's an organization that focuses on accessibility
for
special needs. And, they're talking about how to increase access for patrons with vision and hearing loss, for example, that anybody can really reap benefits from. So maybe you're in an organization that you're really wanting to be more cognizant. That's a great opportunity to learn about things that you can know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really for everyone. Everyone can find a place to network, to meet, to connect, which is really what we hope this event is all about.
Yeah. Or just watch people
do their
art, which is really cool too.
Exactly.
And there'll be music and things like that happening too.
There will be.
Awesome.
Lots of things. Everybody can go to the Facebook page for Region 2 Arts Council, or they can go to our webpage, r2arts.org.
Excellent.
And there's a link there.
Excellent.
All the details are there.
Thank you. Thanks, Wendell, for coming in. And thanks, Joanna, for hanging on the line with us. I hope you guys have a wonderful event on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Katie.
Airy Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.